Please be seated. Well, we come to our sermon this morning, to our Bible teaching time, and it's in a sermon series that we're looking at what makes people tick. We're thinking about the Bible's reasoning and answers to the questions of our pressing needs and wants. And today we're thinking about the desire to connect. We all have a desire to connect. Would you agree or disagree? In these COVID-19 days of self-isolation and safe distancing, I can hear you say, Trevor, of course we do. We long to be close again with family and with friends, to meet as we used to meet. And I agree, it will be good. But in these days and for some time to come, we must comply with government regulations and God's grace to be patient, sensible and obedient, and to connect to new ways that meet that need for others and ourselves. And I'm encouraged, and you ought to be also, of what we've been able to do, and take heart. Remember, God cares for his people through his people. Don't be afraid to take the initiative in love and reach out first. But the connection Hugh Mackay has in mind in his book, What Makes People Tick, is something more. When he writes of Australians as having a desire to connect, he means we all have a pressing need to know who we are, to be who we are, to know where we came from, what drives us, where we find our place of rest, that place, that state of being that says to us, yes, this is who I am, this is where I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to do. Some might call it the quest for happiness, contentment, even inner peace. Proof, Hugh suggests, is found in people's discontentment with life as they find it and experience it. So we look for an answer in connecting with one's inner self, with nature, and with others. We hear it in our friend's explanation for an unexpected getaway. I'm going away just for a few weeks just to find myself. We hear it in the surfer's description why she loves to surf. When I'm out on my board waiting for a wave, I feel wonderfully disconnected with the world and yet so connected in a space and place where I'm truly happy. And in our colleague's satisfaction of a job well done. It might be for you on the golf course, watching a sunrise, seeing a movie, reading a book, escaping to the country, going for a bushwalk. Or in crowds, at parties and shopping centres, though I personally have no idea how you would. For those of you who do, you do. However, although we may long to be alone at times, with ourselves and our thoughts in a place or space where we can be what we need to be, we eventually crave for the company of others, to communicate our discoveries, to celebrate ourselves with another. We know that so well to be true. And all this, I think, is the reason for the popularity of the SBS TV series, Who Do You Think You Are? Discontent with life as we find it and experience it, we humans look for an answer in connecting with one's inner self, nature, and with others. I think you know what Hugh means by this desire to connect. You feel it too, and I know I do. For me, my happy place is on a beach at a sunrise, fishing, absorbed in the moment, coming home to display my catch and sharing it with others, exaggerating the experience a little, and then spending time in the garden with Rosemary, sitting back on my chair in the garden in the warmth of the morning sun. This is a typical day off for Rosemary and I on Fridays, our day of rest. Where's your happy place? Where do you go to find or remember who you are, where you're meant to be, what you're supposed to do. We all have a desire to connect. Like square blocks looking for a square hole to fall into. The Bible agrees. Turn with me to our two Bible readings for this morning, the first from Ecclesiastes and the second from Mark. King Solomon is at the end of his life and is looking back over what he has observed of life and experienced. He puts down in writing what he has learnt of life. Jesus, in our Mark reading, has been asked a question. Of all the commandments of God, what is the most important? What matters the most? In verses 9 to 12 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon concludes that two are better than one. We need others. In getting things done, they have a good return for their labour. If cold, they can help each other keep warm. If one overpowered, together they can defend themselves. One helps the other. King Solomon's observations and experience leads him eventually to conclude at the end of all he writes that life is meaningless unless we find it in connection with others and with God. Verse 13 of the last chapter in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, he writes, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." Our Lord repeats this reminder and he adds an answer how. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The desire to connect, the pressing need and want to know who we really are, to be in the best happy place, begins and carries through with us finding first that in God. "My soul finds rest in God," writes the psalmist in Psalm 62, verse 1. Then taking the initiative to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to reach out and love others as we would love ourselves. "Two are better than one," writes Solomon, "because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. We need to connect with others. But what is better than two is in our happy place, it's three. That we find it in God. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." We Christians, we find our desire to connect met in reaching out to God and to others in love for him and them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the joy that comes from knowing and being known by you. Our souls indeed find rest in you. We find our inner peace in connecting with you and reaching out to you in love and to one another. You care for your people through your people. And we thank you for the way forward that you provide when we find ourselves in dark places and nowhere to escape. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
It is indeed true that we have such a wondrous God. And moment by moment, we can walk with him each day. To walk with the Lord is a wondrous thing. Our last song expresses this, and our last song would be the offertory song. We do thank you for putting your contributions, either in envelopes which can be picked up. You can ring and arrange these to be picked up. And we thank you for those who are still direct debiting. So the last song that we're about to sing really expresses how much we rely on God and what we live for. This life I live. Please stand and join us.
Next Sunday during the service will be the Lord's Supper, and I will celebrate that with those who will be present with me. You are invited at home to either listen in and feed on Christ in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving, or if you have prepared already, to partake of a piece of bread and wine or grape juice in like manner, to remember that you are greatly loved by God and that we ought to love one another.
As we go out this morning, please join, bow your heads in prayer as I pray the last prayer for the service. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.